this morning. Lord, we thank you for our chance to come and celebrate together this morning. Celebrate your resurrection. And Lord, we pray that as we spend some time in your word, we would hear from you this morning. You would prepare our hearts as we celebrate together. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to look at one of my favorite passages. It should come as no surprise to any of you that the focus this morning is on the resurrection of Christ. If it does, you should check your calendar. Or you're extremely early for Sunday school and you just came in. But this is one of my favorite passages for two reasons. One, the main reason, the significance of the event that takes place in it. And the second reason is because there is some humor in it. And I'm not sure if everybody sees it the same way as me, but ever since somebody pointed this out to me, I can't read this passage and not think about it in a little bit of a funny light. So as we read it this morning, obviously focus on the significance of it, but try to listen and see what I might think is funny, and we'll come back to it. The passage of this morning is John 20, 1 through 9. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linens. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I don't know if anybody else caught it in there, but this is the funny part to me. First of all, the book of John is written by John, and the other books all tell us that it was John that went with him. And so John is writing, and in it he says, Simon Peter and the other disciples, so he doesn't name himself, but he says, the one Jesus loved. So he's pointing out that he's the one that Jesus loved. And then he says, both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. So he points out that he got there first. And then he reminds us, he says, then Simon Peter, who was behind him. And then it says, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first. So John wanted to make sure that everyone understands that he beat Peter there. I've just always found that very funny. And it is quite funny to me. But that's not what we're here to focus on this morning. This morning we came here to celebrate the most glorious event in history. We were at Breakaway last weekend, and Wayne Younger, a good friend of Pastor Doug's, was the speaker. And he said, Easter's like, he's like, for the church, Easter is it. It's like, it's our Super Bowl. It kind of puts it in perspective, at least for a sports fan a little bit. And so, like, this is our big day. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. The greatest event in history. Not to call the Super Bowl the greatest event in history. Don't misconstrue that. But we came to celebrate a few things. Our Lord Jesus Christ has risen. Our salvation. The forgiveness of our sins. Victory over death. The gift of eternal life. These are just a few things that we can celebrate this morning. Because Jesus rose from the grave. And we come this morning as those disciples and those women came on that first Easter morning. We can only imagine the joy they must have felt when they got there and found out that he had risen from the dead. He wasn't in the grave anymore. You know, not that long before that, as Pastor Doug was saying this earlier, that they were just mourning the gruesome death of Jesus, their friend and their Lord. But very quickly, their mourning turned to joy on that first Easter morning. And as we think about this event over the course of the four different Gospels, the way that it's told, you know, Matthew tells us about the two Marys going to see the tomb. And then Mark adds in that Salome was with them. Luke kind of tells the same thing. John tells us of Mary and then of Peter and John going to visit. But in all of these counts, the writers record that the first thing that they noticed when they got to the tomb was that the giant stone that covered the entrance was rolled away. It no longer covered the entrance. But what if the stone hadn't been rolled away? What if when they showed up, the stone was still covering the tomb? You know, how would they have felt? They probably would have continued with the women would have never run and got the disciples, because they would have just continued their mourning, assuming that he was in there. They might have felt a little bit like Job after Job lost all of his family. Everything he had was destroyed. He said, "At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea, or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep." I mean, is that really all there is? Is that what we have to look forward to? I mean, if that were true, if that were really what it was like for us, then we could really resonate with the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:19, where he says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all men." If that stone had not been rolled away, then those visitors to that tomb that morning would have been pretty miserable. They would have had no reason for hope. But praise God, the stone was rolled away. But the question I want to ask this morning is why? Why was it rolled away? You might think that's a pretty silly question. It was rolled away so Jesus could come out. I mean, he rose from the dead. Was he going to stay in there? That's a pretty easy assumption to make, but I don't think that's the reason that the stone was rolled away. Because later that same day, later in John chapter 20, it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw him." Jesus came and joined them in a room where the door was shut and locked. So I don't think he needed the stone to be rolled away in order for him to get out of the tomb. You see, the stone was not rolled away so that he could come out. I can guarantee you that. If no wall could keep him out, then no stone could keep him in. No, the stone was rolled away because when those people got there, they could go in and they could see that he wasn't there. It wasn't for him to come out. It wasn't his means of exit. It's their term of entrance. It was their way to get in. It wasn't so that he could rise. It was so that we could know that he is risen. The open tomb makes it possible for us to go in and to see the clothes lying there and to see that he is not in there anymore. That's why the stone was rolled away. God came down and rolled away that stone so that we could look in. It was rolled away so that that empty tomb could be visible to all. So he could declare that he wasn't in there anymore. And it's the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even to this day. Cynics and critics try to explain it away, but that empty tomb still stands as evidence to all that he is risen. That he is alive today. He's no longer dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks a lot about resurrection. You see, there were some people in Corinth that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So Paul gives them six disastrous consequences if there had been no resurrection of the dead. If Christ did not come back. First of all, you see there in verse 14, preaching Christ would be senseless. Faith in Christ would be useless. All the witnesses and the preachers of the resurrection would be considered liars. No one would be redeemed from sin. Verse 18, all former believers would have perished. And lastly, Christians would be the most pitiable people on the earth. But Christ did raise from the dead. And he's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It could have been this way, but it's not. Because he has risen. And we can look inside that dark and scary tomb and see that he's not there anymore. And praise the Lord that he's not. He is risen. Okay, you didn't know it was coming. Let's try. He is risen. There we go. He's alive. The empty tomb is impressive. And it's unforgettable. It's evidence that he is alive. And because of that resurrection, you and I have life. A new life now as believers in Christ. With a future in heaven in the presence of the Almighty God. A life that will never end. Listen to the change it made in Job's life when he came to this realization. Here's what he said. Just a little bit after all the calamity in his life. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And he said that before Christ even rose from the dead. Imagine how joyful he would have been with the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection caused those that visited it on that morning to go and tell all their friends about it. What kind of effect does it have on us? I want to share with you a Peanuts comic strip. I couldn't find an actual image of it, so I'm just going to kind of share it with you. Snoopy and Woodstock are sitting on Snoopy's doghouse. And Snoopy looks at him and says, "What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be on the top of a branch somewhere, chirping, brightening up somebody's morning?" And so Woodstock flies to the top branch of a little bush and lets out a big chirp, and he comes back. And Snoopy goes, "You only let out one chirp. You can't brighten somebody's morning with one chirp." So flies back to the bush, lets out six more, and he comes back. And he goes, "See now, I mean, doesn't that make you feel a little bit more satisfied? There is one more thing you need to know, though. Now you have to do that every morning for the rest of your life." And that was just too much for Woodstock, so he fainted. Please don't faint when I say this. But for those of us with resurrection faith, the good news is that we can share that joy with others every day for the rest of our lives. And it's our God-given responsibility to do it. He has called us to do that. every day of our lives we should declare that he is risen. We should say it. We should shout it. We should sing it. Maybe even chirp it. I don't know what that sounds like. But every day we should be able to stand up and sing the words to a familiar song. We should be like Woodstock, chirping it every day. And those words of that song, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Freely, forever. One day, he's coming. Oh, glorious day. We're going to pray as the worship team comes and leads us in that song. Lord, we thank you for carrying our sins far away. For freeing us from our sins and giving us eternal life. Lord, we thank you that that stone was rolled away so that we could know that you are risen. Help us to have that joy and share it with everyone around us. In your name we pray.